This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! Into left field! Hit number 3,000! A run is scored!
Smith corks one into right down the line! It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans, and welcome to this off-season. It seems sad not to say postseason edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. It's your off-season version of your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I'm your host, Jim Cromer. Let me welcome in my cohort in crime, Steve-O. What's going on, bud?
Let me give you a couple words for the off-season we're going to be using.
Okay.
Algorithm. Matriculation.
Yeah.
It's all going to be about math, value, all that stuff, because that's what I'm getting out. And here's the deal, and everybody knows, Jim, we got to switch something up. I got a real job, right?
Yep.
And you're sitting in here, and I know you watch as many news conferences and listen to the radio as many times as you can with some of the stuff as you're trying to get.
Sure.
You know, the same as our fans are out there. You know, they're driving, they're listening to the Bernie. Well, Bernie talked to DeWitt and Mo and all that. And I know you're trying to do
Bernie,
the same thing. So. We might have to get press credentials because it's important.
I want to ask some real questions.
You got to ask some real questions. Yeah. And I think you might be the only one. Because here's, at the end of the day, let me tell you what's going to end up happening. Bernie Miklas is going to be the manager.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That's what's going to happen because, or the word, and don't take this the wrong way, folks. The nerds are going to take over the world. They already have, but, you know, I mean, if you got a kid, I wouldn't teach them to play baseball. I'd teach them to be smart. These guys are taking over. That's what the message they're sending is. It's no longer about anything other than those advanced metrics. And when you brought it up the other day, Moneyball, it happened to be on again last night. So I watched it. And it's the exact same thing that Billy
Beal. That's where these arguments
doing.
Come from.
Absolutely. And that's the direction. Now, here's the deal. They might be right, okay?
How because much have they science, won with it? How much have they won with it without spending money?
I know.
That's my point.
No, I'm with you. But science really kind of, in everything, they say, hey, you want more corn? Look at the science. This is how we get more corn. You want cleaner water? This is what we do. Science rules everything, and I guess that's what we're in. We're in the science of sports, or right?
Yeah. Listen, I'm not a dummy. Okay, if you show me a chart that says this guy hits better here and doesn't, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da, okay? If you show me that, I get that.
Yeah.
Okay? So you also don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that. The problem is it's men doing this.
It's not machines.
It's not machines. So you sit here and tell a guy, well, you know, hey, I got a kick out of when I was watching a movie, the whatever that cat's name is.
Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, yeah. Who I think's funny, by the way, but watching him talk to this pitcher about how he, okay, I get it. This is where you attack the guy. I brought it up the other day, okay? It's not just the Cardinals. It's every team. Did you watch the games last night and the night before?
Yeah.
The balls that got hammered, what'd you notice?
The ball's coming back across the plate.
Coming back across the plate, not hitting their spots because they're men, not machines. You can call it whatever you want. Didn't perform well. The experts, like Bernie Miklas, they didn't play hard enough. They didn't care enough. Come on. Just because a guy fails doesn't mean he doesn't care. We have that going on as fans all the time too, right?
Right.
They're lackluster. They seem to have given up because they're not playing well. Okay, well, guess what? Number one, you're human. So when things aren't going well, it probably shows a little bit. Okay? But believe me, nobody got to where these guys are at not giving a shit. That's right. Number one. Number two, okay, that's fine. And I'll say it again. Okay? This OBP shit, it's great. Having a guy with a high OBP is phenomenal until he comes up and you need a hit with two outs and runners at second and third. A frickin' walk does no good.
I get it.
Somebody still has to get a frickin' hit. And excuse my language, but I'm so tired of it.
Yeah.
I'm so tired of it. Somebody's got to get a hit. Now, we had our thing with Benji and all that kind of stuff. And here's where I get frustrated, okay? I went back and looked at these great managers, okay? We hold our team to a higher standard because they're our team. And we expect to be in the playoffs every year. And that's fine. So do I. I'm no different than anybody else. I want to be in the damn playoffs every year too, okay? But the great Butch Bochy, he's not in the playoffs again, okay? Ned Yost, okay? He's not in the playoffs. He's a great manager. He embraces all this shit. You know what all these people that are in the playoffs have in common, okay? And the teams that are not, and I don't give a shit who your manager is. You know what they all have in common?
Guys that can play.
Performing bullpens.
Okay.
Now, did you hear what I said? Performing bullpens. I didn't say great bullpens because here's the problem, folks. And I bring this up all the time, and nobody seems to ever want to engage me in this. Give me these middle relievers that have these long careers. They don't have them. They don't exist. You have some back-end closers that have nice careers. Okay? But these guys are made to destruct. And their career is not long. Because they have a nice season. Okay? They don't. There is no middle reliever out there that was dominant for 10, 11, 12 years. They don't exist. Now, listen, you guys are out there right now. I know who you are.
Lefty specialist.
You're going to find
the exemption.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, but why? They don't know. Because they do one thing. They don't ask them to do multiple things.
Right.
Okay? The game tells you that some of these guys get forced into situations that compromises them, quite frankly. You and I coached baseball for a long time. Why do we have injury problems? Because you overthrow guys. What the hell is a middle reliever? He's a guy you overthrow. That's it. That is it. There's a reason a guy doesn't start a baseball game and then start it again 3 days later. They need rest, okay? Unless you have 5-6 guys that you can count on, okay, you're going to overuse. Now, I'm not an idiot either. I also think you have to live to see another day. But I ask you this, fan base, okay? If you got three relievers that are pretty good and a couple that are not, and you bring in the couple that are not in tough situations, which when you're not a very good team, you find yourself in a must-win situation all the damn time.
Or you find yourself in the tight ball game, which
that's
is
right.
What we did.
It's
would be a different story if somebody
right.
put up nine against us in three in the first three innings, and you can bring in any clown you want to
bring in and
throw him.
That's real easy to say on paper.
Right.
Never throw him in a must-win situation. Well, how many must-win situations are there in a year? Especially if you're a 500 team and you're scrapping and clawing and trying to become better than 500. So, again, the point is you're going to go out there and you're going to find a couple that defy the odds. They're out there, okay? But I tell you what's not out there. There's not an ass load of guys that make a living being guys that come in the sixth, seventh, and eighth inning and have long careers. There's not a ton of guys that have long careers as closers. Really. I mean, they have great 2 or 3 years, right?
Right.
I mean, again, so when a team has a bullpen that comes together, it usually has a pretty good season. And all of a sudden, these managers become real smart because when they go to their bullpen performs. But when they go to their bullpen and their bullpen doesn't perform, all of a sudden the manager's an idiot. Well, I'm going to look real smart if I take my pitcher out a little early if my bullpen performs. Then nobody says you pulled him too early. The only time you ever say you pulled the starter too early is when the bullpen fails.
Absolutely.
Nobody ever says.
And the only time you left him in too long
is when he gets hit.
And gives up the lead. Right.
That's what I'm saying. This is all after-the-fact statistics.
Right.
Okay?
And you're trying to apply after-the-fact statistics to an in-game decision. And that's
played
where
by men, not machines.
And that's where the science comes in, where they're trying to play the odds. It's like
now,
almost playing blackjack.
Now, I will say this. a player, especially. Pitching's tough. Like, seriously, look at the up and down ebb and flow of pitchers. That's why great pitchers are great, right? I mean, how many are there, right, that every year are almost identical, as you said, right? But there's a lot of players that are who they are, right? Like, I've said it before. You know, Jed Jerko had a great start to this season, right? Remember that? Great start to the season. And then he falls off the table. And, there's got to be a reason. Oh, you know, I saw it all, right? There's got to be a reason. I saw somebody tweet, well, you know what? He didn't train to play every day at third base. You know, if this ownership group would have told him he was going to be the third, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. That was one. Another one, he's got to be compromised. Or he's got to be. No. I tell you what it is. He's a career 240-something hitter. This is what career 240-something hitters do. Now, I'm not saying he's going to hit exactly his career average, but if you're a 240 hitter, I promise you, pay attention, there's probably times where you hit 300 for a while, and then there's lots of times where you hit 200. Guess what you get? 250, 240. Right?
No, absolutely.
That's how it works. Now, listen, that's not rocket science. I don't need a sabermetric guy to tell me that, right. that Jed Jerko is pro. Because here's the deal. I go into the season expecting what from Jed Jerko? I told you this last year.
20 bombs, 240.
If I can get 20 bombs and 250 and 60-something RBIs and play good defense, I like it. But here's the problem with that. 240-something with 20 bombs and good defense, not great defense, is a complimentary piece. It's not a guy you lean on and put in the four spot. It's not. You're not going to be any good if you're counting on Jed Jerko. You're not. You're just not. Okay? Again, Dexter Fowler. He proved it beyond... He proved exactly how this works. Look how bad he was early.
Terrible.
Okay? And then look how good he was after he came back after being injured, right?
Right.
And what did he wind up?
262.
Which I think his career average is 268.
Okay. I just threw out 262. It sounded pretty good.
He was 260 something, I think.
Right.
Or two. He had a great year. He had a few more home runs. Okay, but here's the thing. Everybody's like, he had a career year in home runs. Yeah, but he didn't steal any bases, which is the whole reason you brought him over here. Well, carp. And I'm like, well, okay. Yes. Here's the deal, though. Everybody wants to blame that on carp. And that's fine. And we can. Because I don't really care, because I'm ready to move on from Carp. And I'll let you know my GM move here in a minute. I'm ready to move on from Carp. Because there's a variety of reasons why I'm ready to move on from Carp. But here's the problem. Everybody wants to hang it on Carpenter that he can't hit anywhere but leadoff and it was his fault. Well, let me tell you something, folks. Dexter Fowler wasn't getting it done in the leadoff spot. He was awful.
It makes the decision real easy.
You got a guy that
Carpenter
hits. Well, you got a guy that
Fowler's
hits better
hitting.
At leadoff.
Right.
That's right. If Fowler does what he's supposed to do in the leadoff position, you don't move him back.
Right.
But the bottom line was Fowler wasn't doing worth a shit. Carpenter wasn't doing well in the three hole. Well, let's try. What does a manager do? He tries something. Right.
Right.
Now, again, the way Colton Wong played this year and the way his at bats got better, I wouldn't have been opposed to trying him at the leadoff spot. As long as he's going to take good at-bats, I got no problem with it, you know? And again, for you people that love stats and hate Matt Carpenter, don't understand it. He had an unbelievable on-base percentage. And what do you want your leadoff hitter to do?
Get on base.
Okay. He doesn't steal any bases, but he gets a lot of doubles. I mean...
Carpenter's downfall really...
His average was not good.
Well, his average was not good. But realistically, his flaw a lot of times... was the fact that, A, he's learning a new position. I think he was a little suspect there defensively early.
Well, we take that for granted. We think anybody can play first base.
Well,
see, that's the thing.
In Moneyball, they put somebody over at first base, right?
I understand that. So
that's
another thing that kills me.
Yep. And
what does he say in the movie? It's first base.
It's first base.
It's just first base.
It's not hard. Tell him, Wash.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard.
Yeah.
Good one. So, and then he had his base running errors that really kind of haunted us all season long, you know, where he just wasn't very good on the bases. And that's really an issue that you can't have as a leadoff guy. Yadi's not the fastest guy out there, but he understands baseball and he understands moving either position to position or first to third or second to home. within his abilities. Karp just doesn't get it, I don't think, on the bases. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's a selfish thing. I don't know if it's a, I mean, his dad's a baseball guy. His dad's a baseball coach. I mean, you would think he would understand and he's the
always,
game.
Yeah, and he's always been kind of that wet dream coaches guy, which I think he gets a bad rap for that. But here, my opinion is, again, I brought this up earlier, people want to hear what they want to hear, and they want to take things with. When he talked about the base running blunder at third base, all people heard was a guy that didn't want to apologize for getting thrown out at third. A baseball player heard, here's a guy being aggressive and trying to do too much, okay? And he's not going to apologize for playing the game and trying to take what was given to him. Now, he obviously wasn't fast enough to get there, okay? And what other people don't realize, too, is a lot of guys score and a lot of guys take extra bases. It happens all the time because you challenge guys that aren't very good defensively. And every now and again, you get thrown out. It happens all the time. There was a game this year where we lost runners, and I told somebody, look who's in left field. He's a guy that's not a traditional outfielder. I guarantee you the scouting report, quote unquote, is to run on him all day long and challenge him. How many times has a guy scored from second on a base hit when he probably shouldn't have because the guy in left field doesn't throw worth a shit? And the throw's offline, it bounces.
You saw it the other night with Judge.
It happens.
First to third, the guy sails it over
that's
the third
right.
base.
Happens
set.
All the time.
If now, that happens two times this season,
sure,
we're in the playoffs.
That's right. So my point is, you got there's intricacies involved in the game that you don't just see on TV by being a like just somebody that loves baseball. Like, I watch baseball. I love it. It's part of it, right? So that's what people see, and that's fine. Take whatever narrative you want. I really don't care, okay? It's like the whole thing with Tommy Pham throwing a fit on the field. I like Tommy Pham. I love his intensity. That's not intensity, okay? You're showing up players because they failed. That's not how it works. You want to show intensity, show intensity. Chris Carpenter was intense, and everybody tries to compare Pham to Carpenter. Completely different things. Chris Carpenter never showed anybody up on the field because they failed at their job. He called somebody out because they did something that was detrimental to the team off the field with the Brendan Ryan thing. He's standing out there on the mound waiting for the guy to come out. He's trying to pitch. Okay, a little bit different story. Chris Carpenter never looked at anybody because they hit a ground ball or struck out and threw a tantrum. Two completely different things, but people are going to take whatever narrative they want out of it. Completely fine. I really don't even care. I'm just telling you the reality of it. Take it however you want. Chris Carpenter never showed up anybody on the field for performance because they're baseball players and they understand it. It's like the whole thing with Carpenter and the thing that happened with Rosenthal. People thought he was calling. Now listen, and here's what people understand. I get it. You're mad because Carpenter makes an error, right? Folks, there's a humongous difference amongst baseball players. Don't take it from me. Take it from Benji. Take it from the players. But nobody ever wants to listen to them. Like, whenever Benji tries to tell people something, they just ignore what he says because it's not what they want to hear from a former player, right? Like when he tries to tell them about the hitting coach. They don't want to hear it because they got their mind made up. It's like the Carpenter thing. Folks, I promise you, ask any Major League Baseball player, there is a huge difference between a physical error and a mental error. Ask any baseball player. Now, if you make enough physical errors, they're going to say you're not good enough to play, okay? But the one thing they feel like they can never make is a mental error. You should never make a mental error. Why? Because that is something you can control. Covering first base on a ball hit to the right side is a complete and utter blunder. Missing a ground ball is a physical error that you're either good enough to play the position or you are not. It's that simple.
Absolutely.
We put Paul DeJong at shortstop.
Rodney.
He was not a shortstop, but they've converted him there. So when he makes a couple of errors, I'm not going to jump his ass. Okay? When they've moved Matt Carpenter all over the infield. I promise you that Matt Carpenter is not in the manager's office going, I want to play all over the infield. I want to play every position, and I want to play a different position every 3 weeks. I promise you he's not doing that. Okay? So again, okay, let's be realistic about what we have, what we don't have. What we don't have, okay, are go-to guys to put these complimentary guys around. So I'm going to give you my GM moves here in a minute, okay? And before we do that, we want to remind everybody, check us out, twobirdsonabat.com. That's our website. It's where you can hear the show. It's also where you can subscribe. We'll be doing the show once a week going forward here in the season. You guys will be able to download the show. You'll get a notification if you're subscribed. It's completely free. Again, that's at twobirdsonabat.com. Hit us up on Twitter. We really enjoy all the stuff we do there as well, at Birds on a Bat Show.
That is our Twitter handle. Facebook, Two Birds on a Bat. You guys can find us there. Birds on a Bat Show. Two Birds on a Bat Show is where you'll find us on Instagram. Our ask of you is to follow us on all of our social media. Jump in on the conversations. You see all the time that we share our actual show when the new one comes out through there. Our ask of you is when you see it, if you're enjoying it, just share it around in an effort to reach all the great Cardinal fans out there. We would extremely appreciate it. Facebook's been very kind to us. Of course, you guys know we're a proud member of the Rally Squirrel family. I have nothing but the utmost respect for Nate McHenry and everything he does with RallySquirrel.com, the great Facebook page. We have the Rally Squirrel Club, which we're going to encourage you guys to check out at RallySquirrel.com. We'll be continuing that through the off season. Again, you can sign up for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You guys can get that extra content on Mondays. Working on special guests, behind the scenes type stuff. And, of course, the giveaways from Fan Cave Sports are fantastic. Some of our Facebook friends that we could not do the show without, of course, Cardinal Freaks. Guy does a great job. Love the interaction. Never going to be able to say enough about Chris Larless and Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. He does an unbelievable job. He's such a huge fan. And, again, Chris, I hear you out there, bud. I know you're wanting a podcast. Just jump on the show, bud. We're happy to have you. LineupMedia.fm, fastest-growing podcast company on the planet. We're proud to be a member. As we hit the offseason for Cardinal baseball, a big win for the Blues last night as we do some crossover stuff here. If you're a Cardinal fan and a Blues fan, it's time to turn your attention now to the Blues NHL podcast. Check them out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Great show. I co-host that with Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimmel, former Blues members. Let me tell you, they're straightforward to the point. Fans love them. They don't mess around. And I got to tell you, big win last night against the defending Stanley Cup champions, and hopefully it's going to be a great season. But unfortunately, hey, we have no October baseball.
And I got a little plug.
Okay.
If you're a football fan out there and you're a Benji Molina fan, tune in to Cowboys Podcast. We got a big Dallas Cowboy Green Bay Packer matchup. He's a Green Bay fan. I host the Cowboys Podcast. It's on lineupmedia.fm, cowboyspodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook. But we're going to get him on the show for Friday's show for a little pregame matchup talk. And then I'm going to head down to Dallas and watch the game.
Yeah, well, and again, it's another thing, and we're going to take
and it's going to piss Jono off.
Why?
Having a Packers fan, a cheesehead fan on the line with us.
Really?
Oh, he's, you know, you saw what he did to our friend Zach Holland.
That's true, too. That's
with,
true, too.
He came in talking about the Denver Broncos. Jono went apeshit.
Apeshit.
Almost physically tried to assault him. It was crazy.
Physically tried to assault him. Hey, another thing. We brought up the new contest from Steve-O here. Did a great job with his mortgage company, Supreme Lending. We got a lot of people jumping on board already. You had multiple phone calls already after the last show, people wanting to take advantage. Looks like we had a guy call in. You're going to be able to help, which is tremendous. And if I'm not mistaken, and you correct me, stop me when I'm wrong.
Yep.
Guy called and said, hey, you know, don't take me wrong here, but I really just want to get in the contest. But you know what? I've been thinking about doing something. And you said, well, look, just let me take your application. So then he goes from one entry to six entries. And now, you told me this morning, it looks like he's going to get the extra 20 because you called him back and he was surprised what you could do for him. So,
absolutely.
Again, just a very simple thing to do. We're going to let you hear from him in a minute. Your phone number is?
618-655-0483.
And again, here's the deal. Two tickets to opening day. If you just call Steve and ask him a mortgage question, which you did have a guy do that.
Absolutely.
You had a guy do that.
Just kind of like a checkup.
He had a cash out question for you. He didn't know how it was working since the new laws have come in. So you had a guy do that. You couldn't help him. You were honest with him.
Correct.
You told him. You got no equity in your home. You can't do cash out. It's not that way anymore. You can't. There's no lying on your appraisals, all that kind of stuff. You helped him. Okay. So that guy got an entry for nothing, right? You get one entry for that. Five entries if you actually apply and give you an application, which you had multiple people do.
Absolutely.
And then if you do the loan, you have 20 extra entries. So this one guy that it looks like you're going to be able to help has 26 entries.
26.
26 entries.
It's going to be awesome.
Phenomenal. So, hey, we're going to hear from Steve and Emily real quick. And Supreme Lending, again, don't be fooled, folks. Emily's doing all the work here, okay? He's just I'm not going to say pretty face, maybe pretty voice, but Emily's doing all the work here. And, again, it's kind of like going into a massage parlor as a guy. I don't want no dude rubbing on me.
I don't want Reggie.
Okay. If you call Supreme Lending, ask for Emily. That's all I'm going to say. Let's hear from Steve and Emily right now, and we'll see you guys on the other side.
Hey, Cardinals fans. This is Steve and Emily Flowers with Supreme Lending. When we're not watching our Redbirds chase another world championship, we're helping buyers finance their dream home.
That's right. Whether you're a first-time home buyer looking for down payment assistance or an experienced buyer looking for your next move, you deserve the best. So call us now at 618-655-0483. We have all the bases covered when it comes to your next home loan. FHA, USDA, VA, and conventional. We do it all here at Supreme Lending.
Homeowners, with our refinance programs, you could lower your rate, get cash out to consolidate debt, or even remodel that bathroom, kitchen, or the outdoor space you've been dreaming of.
The bases are loaded in your favor here at Supreme Lending. Call us at 618-655-0483 or visit us online at steveflowers.supremelending.com or search us on Facebook at Steve and Emily Flowers-Supreme Lending.
Go Birds!
All programs and terms are subject to change without notice and subject to underwriting approval. Supreme Lending, NMLS 2129, is not affiliated with a government agency. Steve Flowers, NMLS 227652. Emily Flowers, NMLS 1256327. Missouri Company Registration 17-2156. Branch NMLS ID 1453720. Located at 361 1 Richardson Square Drive, Suite 200. Equal housing lender.
Great stuff as always from our friend Steve. Again, I encourage you to take advantage of that great contrast. Again, give them a call. Get yourself registered. Some people are already taking advantage of it. And again, we're going to be running it all off season. So he's even talking about putting in another way for people. If you refer somebody to give him a call, we talked about having some an extra amount of entries there as well. So there'll be an opportunity for you to get as many entries in for the opening day tickets as possible. Stay tuned as we're going to really, really promote that, especially through our social media as well. Well, while we were playing that commercial, Steve got a phone call and had to run duty calls. He had a mortgage situation he was helping somebody with, and something went wrong with it. And as a true mortgage guy does, and he is great at what he does, he left. He's like, I gotta go fix this problem. So, kudos to him for doing that. But he's left me alone to some degree. The only thing we're gonna miss from Steve, and we'll miss his commentary, but what we're gonna miss were his GM moves that I had asked him to do. And I'm alone in the studio, but I'm not alone technically because on the line, the M4byYachty.com hotline, is your friend and mine, the great Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Not much, man. Not much. Ready to go for today.
Well, on Monday, we talked a little bit on the show. You were on an airplane, obviously, back home. Unfortunately, no playoff baseball for us here in St. Louis. But we talked a lot about the team and deficiencies and things that we saw and all this kind of stuff. You know, you get fed up with guys and you're ready to move on and do all this. So everybody wants to play GM for a day, right? Everybody wants to do that. It's a whole lot easier when you can make trades and you can sign guys and you can cut guys and it's not your money and you don't actually have to work out the trade with the other team. It's a great thing that fans like to do. So I had told listeners that Steve-O and I were going to do this. You know, a lot of these guys are friends of yours, and you know, sometimes things you say can be mistaken for, you know, like you have some information and you don't want it to come out that way. So I had kind of thrown out the idea that you know, Steve-O and I would put these fantasy moves together, and then we'd let you to critique how you think we did as a GM. So Steve-O's not here, so I'm going to tell you what Jimbo would do. You know, Mo and Gersh are out and Jimbo's in. So I'm going to start my offseason right now, and I'm going to tell you what my moves are, and I want you to grade me. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. All right, so, again, I'm a realistic GM, okay? I'm a realistic GM. So rather than be a complete fantasy guy, even though I know that the majority of this may never happen, I'm going to go into the offseason with a plan. And I always say, and you guys were shooting me a photo of a shirt you're going to get me last night. What do I always say? Everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. I think it was Mike Tyson that said that, right? So everybody has a plan till they get punched in the mouth. So my plan going into the offseason is this. I am prepared.
And punched in the mouth in 2 years.
Two full years. Okay, so here we go. I'm going into this offseason. Now, there's going to be some minor. I'm not going to get into the smaller moves. I'm talking big stuff, right? I am ready to move on from some guys, okay? I'm ready to move on. Number one, I'm not saying I agree or disagree. I'm moving on from Lance Lynn only because I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do, and if I sign Lance Lynn, it's going to hamstring me,
and I'm going to come back with the same problem I had before. So I'm going to move on, okay? I'll tell you who else is out. Now, these are all by trade, okay? I'm going to move on from I'm going to move on from Piscotty. I'm going to move on from Grichuk, and I'm going to find somebody to take Karp. I'm ready to make a change. I'm going to make a functional change within the organization. These are guys, okay, that I just don't feel can be. And what we needed was these guys to be the guy. And I don't think they're guys that can be the guy. So I've decided I'm not going to pursue Lynn. I'm going to let him go. And I'm gonna get rid of Piscotty, Grichuk, and Karp. Now, I'm going to get rid of them. I'm going to get rid of them because here's what I'm going to target. Okay? I'm going to get Eric Hosmer. I'm going to go get Hosmer for a variety of reasons. He brings a lot of things that I need. He brings that number three hitter bat, that left-handed bat, great athleticism at first base, and he can run. He can do a lot of things. And I love his attitude.
He's a good base runner, and
you know what? He's a good baseball player. He's got a great attitude. I think we need, like, whether you agree with it or not, and Steve and I talked a little about the misconception of players and their attitudes. Hosmer, no doubt about it, people will love him. Would you not agree?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna go get him. All right.
I'm not gonna say Jimbo, I'm not going to sit here right now and say that who am I going to get out, because I don't like doing that, you know, like trade or
sure.
release or whatever. But I'm going to tell you what I would do after you.
Okay, good. Okay, good. I like that. I don't ever want to put you on the spot to where people might think you know things or it's, you know, you get labeled sometimes, you know, hey, well, this is Yachty kind of talking through Benji. No, it's not, guys. We're just fans, right? Okay, we're having a good time here. So Hosmer. Okay, I'm going after Hosmer. I love him. I love his attitude. I love his bat. He fills the void. He's the kind of guy that if you have him and you have to go with some of these other guys, he makes you better. Okay? He makes it tolerable to have, if Jed Jerko's got to play more, he makes it tolerable. If it's bringing up a Wisdom, if we have to have Grichuk in the outfield, or if it's we can do better as long as we have Hosmer, okay? So that's my number one thing. I'm going to go after Hosmer, okay? Now, here's where the reality sets in. I can only do that.
The only move you will make?
No. I got others. Hang on. I'm going. But I'm being realistic about my moves. I can only do this if I can move Karp. Because if I can't move Karp, then I can't have Hosmer unless I want to go with Karp at third. So I doubt it. So I'm going to move Karp. I'm going to get Hosmer. Then I'm going to call Derek Jeter and I'm going to say, here's the deal, Derek. I've got prospects and I've got money. What do we got to do to get Stanton in a Cardinal uniform? Because let me tell you, if it makes zero sense to not have him, because you've got the prospects and you've got the money. And you've got the need for a star power player here in town. I don't understand. It makes zero sense. This thing makes way too much sense for the Cardinals. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to trade for Stanton. And he plays right field. I leave Tommy Pham in center maybe, Fowler in left, whatever. Whatever they work out there, I'll leave that to the baseball people because they're going to figure it out now. Their math's going to tell me. Who should play center? Now, they're going to be math guys. So I'm going to let their math figure that out. So now I'm going to go get Stanton. So now I've got 3-4 in my lineup, Hosmer and Stanton. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that if you realize that if you're going to get Stanton, you're going to have to give up 3 or 4 guys.
And I'm happy to be one of them. Well, okay. Listen, I understand that. But here's the deal. Giancarlo Stanton is better than anybody I'm going to trade him for right now. Okay, so I'm going to trade some guy. If I had to trade Pham, and I don't want to, but if I had to, I'm trading a guy that had a career year at what age? Okay? I'm trading a guy that had a career year at what age that has had some injury problems and has had some eye problems. So I'm not going to not do this trade because it's Tommy Pham. Because I promise you, here's the deal. You're right. I'm going to have to trade some guys.
That's not what
I understand that. I'm going to have to trade some guys. But think about this. What good are they doing me at AAA if they're blocked coming up here anyway?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go get a guy.
No.
I'm going to go get a guy. And Stanton's a guy, right? He's a guy. Then I'm going to finish this whole off.
Just remember, he didn't want to come over to St. Louis.
Well, I don't. Listen, so. Do you know that for sure?
Well,
you know what somebody told you. What I know, it's the same.
That's one of the three places he didn't want to go. One of them was St. Louis.
But who told? But a media guy told us this. It's the same people in the media told me that Dexter Fowler wasn't going to sign here because he didn't want to play here. Same people. I never heard that. I never heard that from Stanton. Giancarlo Stanton or his agent never come out and told me he didn't want to come here. Okay? So I'm going to – well, here's the deal. I'm going to at least try. Okay? I'm going to at least try. All right? So – and listen, these are hypothetical moves. If I don't get Stanton, that's okay. And then my last move, I'm going to call Wade Davis and say, what do you need? Because I got money, so what do you need? All right?
Well, you got money. What kind of money?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to call Wade Davis and say, what do you need to come here? Now, if Wade Davis shuns me.
Not only for that move, Jimbo, for all the moves that you're talking about, you round out the money and you tell me that Hosmer is not going to be cheap.
No, he's not.
Wade Davis is not going to be cheap.
Nope.
And Stanton sure is not cheap for the next 10 years.
Well, and we got money. So, number one, our payroll needs to increase. I'm trading Carp. I'm getting rid of Gritch, who's owed a raise, and I'm getting rid of Piscotty's salary. We're not going to sign Lynn. We're going to go young with starting rotation, right? And I'm going to go, and this is what I'm going to go after. Yes, our payroll is going to rise, but it should rise. And let me tell you why it should rise. They're going to make a whole lot of money in that front office when they have Hosmer and Stanton batting third and fourth. I can promise you that. Now, if Wade Davis tells me no, or we can't afford Wade Davis, I'm going to call Addison Reed, and I'm going to say, what do you want? Because here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sign Addison Reed and bring back Nicasio, and I'm going to see who I like better in the eighth and ninth, and I'm going to lock this thing down in the seventh, eighth, and ninth with Tyler Lyons, Addison Reed, and Nicasio. And whether it's Nicasio or Reed that closes, I'm good.
Yeah, that sounds good. The only thing is the team just went through a 3.5 million fans season, and the team is not even wasn't even to the potential that you're putting on Hosmer, Wade Davis, and Stanton, right?
So, right.
But in the owner's place, you're going to spend double the money. You might have a high salary, budget, and then you're going to have 3.5 fans. Again, you know what I'm saying? So it's not going to make a. The only thing is, yeah, you're going to make a lot of more money outside, I guess, you know, selling shirts and all that stuff. You're going to make that way, but through the fans, it's still going to be the same. The fans are going to go. It's going to be 3.5 million fans next year again, even if they don't do one move that we're saying, right? It's still going to be 3.5 million fans, you know, so they're going to make their money anyway. That's what scares me. That's the first.
Well, here's
what
I'm
done, right?
Well, hang on, but I'm going to do a little math for you, just so you know. I'm looking at a savings with the moves I'm going to make. No Lynn, no Carp, no Grichik, no Piscotty. I'm looking at saving. That money alone will cover Stanton for sure, and that doesn't include raises. So that money alone will cover Stanton. Okay. So now all I got to do is come up with the $20 million a year for Hosmer. And again, if Davis wants too much money or doesn't want to leave Chicago, I'll give Addison Reed $10 million. Okay? So now I just got to raise my payroll $30 million. And there's no reason we couldn't raise our payroll $30 million to give ourselves a realistic chance at the World Series and to put us back in prominence. You can't tell me, with all the money coming in, that a raise of $30 million isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
It should happen.
Well, it should, yeah. It should. But what I just told you about 3.5, a lot of owners are very happy with 3.5 million fans no matter what. So 3.5 million. Okay. I'm going to tell you what I would do.
Okay. What are you going to do?
What I would do without going into who needs to be released or not. I'm going to tell you who I would put in my team.
Okay.
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 First, I would address the bullpen, right?
Okay.
And there's three guys or more, but two guys that I will go hard after. And Nicasio is not signed, by the way, so I would sign Nicasio.
Sure.
Bring him. And I would go after Han or Wade Davis. Han is the closer for the Padres. And here he is a lefty. He throws hard, and Yadi love him. He told me, I asked him about him. I said, how about this kid, man? He's over there in the Padres. Do you think he'll be playing better here in St. Louis? He'll be, man, he'll be, like, amazing for us. Okay, so, and I saw him, so he's very good. So I would go either, I guess, try to get Han or Wade Davis. I mean, this is signing Nicasio, right? So I would go after those two guys. That's my main... My main offseason.
Who did you say? Plus, what was the name of the player you said from San Diego?
Han.
Brad Han. Okay. Okay.
Yes, Han. Closer, lefty.
Okay.
And then I will go after Wade Davis. So if either one of them don't work, you know, like if I go after Wade Davis and he doesn't work, I'll go after Han on a trade or something. That's what I would do. Okay. And then Addison Reed is not a bad deal either. So that's options. So now moving on, if I can sign one of those closers, I could deal with only Hosmer. You know what I mean? Okay. If I could sign one of the closers, I could deal with only Hosmer or only Ozuna. I like Ozuna in the Marlins because okay. I think Stanton is pretty scary to everybody with that contract. I don't know if like you said. Realistically talking, I don't think the Cardinals are going to go after $200 and almost $300 million in 10 years. I don't think they would have done that to Pujols. So, and they didn't do it. So I don't think they're going that way. But I think they have an option on Ozuna, a great player, a breakout year. Everybody, and I asked Yadi too, and he likes him. He went in the All-Star game with him. He likes the player. So, that's another guy I would go after. And obviously Hosmer. Those are my key. I could live with Hosmer and a bullpen guy like Han or Wade Davis. That's what I would go for. I mean, about Lynn, Lynn is going to want to have his money.
He's going to want $100 million, which you can't blame him. Why not? Jeff Samardzija got $95 million. Mike Leake got $85 million. Why would Lynn not want $100 million? He's going to want $100 million.
Exactly. But the only thing that can kill him is that he already came from the surgery, and he didn't even have 12 wins. I don't even think he reached 12 wins. And whoever signs him for $100 million. They're going to look at themselves and say, hey, listen, $100 million for 11 wins? I mean, seriously, is it? You know, what are we signing here?
But don't we live in a new age of baseball where the wins is overrated? They're going to look at his underlying numbers, and they're going to look at, you know, how he does and ERA, yeah. Things like that. I mean, again, I think he's going to get $100 million based on what other people have gotten. So that's why I'm going to let Lynn walk.
And he might, and wishing him well. I like Lynn, so I hope he gets it. I mean, I'm a player. If you give me $200 million, I hit 3 home runs a year. I'm not gonna say no. I'm gonna take the $200 million. You know, I'm a player. I'm a baseball. So it's up to them to pay it or not. But I'll be happy for Lynn. But those are the things that I would go after if I'm a GM right now of the Cardinals. You know, like. Hosmer would be my top priority and weight. And then that kid, the closer for the Padres. I mean, those two kids for me and Hosmer will be my priority. And if I don't get Hosmer, I can still go after Ozuna and then the closer. So, but they need somebody in the back end of that bullpen. I'm not saying that they, with all the guys that we had this year, we still could have made it if they would have pitched to their capability, right? To what they were supposed to do, but I don't think they're going after Stanton myself. Hey, another guy is third baseman for the Blue Jays, Donaldson. I mean, it's a lot of money too, but I mean that's another option for them in third base. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know the Donaldson thing. I like him. Everybody knows I'm a Donaldson guy. Okay, I'm just looking at
if I'm a club and I'm going to take on something, I'm going to take on Donaldson almost, to be completely honest, I look at him a lot like Lynn. If I bring on Donaldson, the only reason it's worth it to me is if I can sign him. Donaldson's an older guy that has some injury issues, and he's going to want a bunch of money. He's going to want a five-year, $150 million contract probably, or a 6-year. So, again,
you know, it's just throwing options out there too. You know, we're just throwing options.
Right.
That they're the one who's going to have to decide that. But we're just throwing. And let me tell you this, Jimbo, for this could go to the GM, to the owner, to whoever. I think the owner and the GM and everybody, they need to put. They need to do a little better out there for the fans. You know, the fans, the city, they're very supportive of the team. They're very supportive. They give you 3.5 million fans a year. We need to put out there a group that, you know, that gets it done. You know, gets it done. I'm not criticizing anything because we almost made it this year. But again, we need to put somebody out there. We need to get a couple guys in our lineup that are doers, you know, and they go out there really strong the whole year, you know, just a few months.
I'm doing all this based on knowledge that I have, based on how things go in the community. So let's be realistic. I lived through the time of Tony La Russa here, okay? Tony was what amazes me is people look back now, and you would really think that Tony La Russa could do no wrong, right? But I remember Tony La Russa, just like Mike now, had people that didn't like him. Okay, when Tony La Russa's teams didn't win, people didn't like him. They felt that they said the same things they say about Mike now. How can this team not win? How can this team not go to play? Tony La Russa didn't go to the playoffs every year. He had a couple-year drought. I think he had a 3-year drought once, if I'm not mistaken, right? He went to a World Series with the best team this town's probably ever seen and got swept by the Boston Red Sox. So Tony had failures, okay? Now, and I mean to tell you, they would roast Tony on the airwaves, on the fan call-in shows,
well,
and people didn't like him. But hang on, let me finish, and then because I want your take on this. So I think people's memory gets real short when it comes to this. Right now, what we're focusing on is Mike and this club. Now, what I will say is this, though. I've never seen the fans act like they are right now, because I think the fans are a little smarter than people give them credit for. When you have a good team and things don't work out and things just didn't happen, you can almost accept that. But when you watch this team play, and I'm sorry, and I'm a Cardinal fan, I love them, but you watch the stuff that's went on here for 2 years, I haven't seen the fan base this disgruntled since the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And I'm telling you, if this ownership group is smart, they will not allow this franchise to dip into that, because they got a great thing going here. So I'm of the belief that they're smarter than me. And they're going to go, you know what? You know, we've kind of lived on this dry powder, and we've lived with this budgeted payroll. We got to do something to infuse our fan base again, because while the turnstiles are turning, I'm telling you, they better do something, or they're going to watch those turnstiles stop turning.
Yes, and let me tell you this. We are a couple players away. Listen very careful. A couple players away. This year we were one player away. And we've been saying this for a long time this year. One player, and that's the bullpen help, right?
Right.
And look at what we did when Nicasio came on. We did a lot better.
Sure.
But if we added one more arm, we would have made it. But anyways, that's past. But I'm going to tell you this. We are two players away. Two. Not one. Not three. No, I think we are two players away from making it to the playoff and making a run deep in the playoffs, okay? This is very serious. We are two players away. But now I want to add to what you were saying. I had a thought here that I had the other day, but I had to hold it until the show. So now, listen, when you are in a team like the Cardinals, for example, you know, and this is just examples. This is not dogging anybody. Okay, you win games because of the offense. You have a percentage of wins because the offense is going to pick you up any day. You have the wins of the pitching, right? You're going to have those wins. You're going to have a percentage of wins in the bullpen. You have a percentage of wins because the defense is great. You know, you put the right people out there to play defense. But guess this one. You have a percentage when the manager has to get those wins. And I mean by this is they don't play, they don't hit, they don't catch, they don't run, the managers in this case, but they win the game by making the right decisions. So did you get that? Hitting, defense, the bullpen, they all get percentage. They all get percentage. So by if you were talking about Tony La Russa, I bet you that high that Tony La Russa percentage is very high because he's not gonna hurt himself. He's not gonna lose games because of managing the game because the high percentage. That's what I mean by saying all these numbers out there. The offense is gonna pick you up during the year. This is 20%. The defense is 20%. I mean, whatever it is. But that's how you see that as a GM. That's how I want to see if I ever a GM. I want to see what the manager, is he hurting me? Oh, wait, hold on. He's only 5% helping me when he needs to manage.
Right.
Okay, my defense is, okay, wait, what the hell, man? We lost so many games. Oh, yeah, last year, what happened? The bullpen only helped me 5%. They're supposed to be 30% of my help. So, hey, guess what? We need to go get bullpen help. Things like that is how you manage the team. And if you don't go by those lines, it's because either you know, your manager is your best friend or your manager is it's a buddy of yours from high school, or because you're just going by feel, you're just going by heart instead of going by what it is. I bet you anything, the Socha, the Bochis, these great managers that came through, their percentage of, okay, I'm going to lose the game by hitting. I'm going to lose the game by defense. I'm going to lose the game by starting pitching, not going five innings. I'm going to lose the game by the bullpen, giving it up in the sixth and the seventh, the eighth and ninth. But guess what? I'm not going to. I have the guy right here that is not going to let me lose the game because he's my guy. He's the manager that I'm thinking he's not going to lose that percentage ever because with his moves, we're going to win games.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if you get me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And again, I think, you know, like I said, we pride ourselves on knowing enough about baseball here to be dangerous and feeling like we can make, you know, moves as good as the team and we have stuff at our hand. Data's become such a big part of it. The Cardinals seem to be committed to it. I understand it. I think people will call me stupid. I think some of it's a little overrated, but that's fine. I'm a dinosaur, I guess. I've said it once, I'll say it again. Give me a bunch of guys that can hit, play the game the right way. Give me some guys that can get guys out coming out of the bullpen, and I'll show you a pretty good baseball team. Benji, that's going to do it for us this week, my man.
Sometimes you can live with that, with having a manager that is not that good. I'm not saying my team
is
not that good. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not talking about my team. I'm talking about in general in baseball.
Sure.
That if you have a great team out there, it doesn't matter who the manager is because you're going to have more wins. You know, the team is going to help you win games. You know, I'm not talking about Matheny.
Sure. Yeah.
I'm just saying anybody, any team out there, that's going to help. But when it comes to managing, you don't want to lose those games because of managing. That's my deal if I were a GM.
Well, you know, if people like stats so much, all I know is you and I have been talking, and Steve-O, and again, I go back to this. I've done more looking back at teams that were good with good managers, and then there's teams, and then the years they weren't good, and, you know, we kind of joke around, well, all of a sudden did the manager forget how to manage? I'm going to tell you and I, the one thing that's in common, these teams, whether they got these great managers or poor managers or guys that manage not very long, it seems like when these guys make postseason runs, they got one thing in common, all of them, good bullpens. A good bullpen will make a manager look awful good. Hey, Benji, thanks for joining us today, my man.
That could be our priority.
Yep, thanks for joining us today. On Monday, we'll be back for our Two Birds on a Bat, our weekly show. Again, we go to once a week here in the off-season, guys. Of course, if you want to catch some extra content, check us out at rallysquirrel.com. Be a member of the Rally Squirrel Club. You can catch some of that extra action and, of course, all the great stuff coming from Fan Cave Sports. Benji, appreciate you, man, every week joining the show as you always do. And again, I hope you're going to enjoy your off season in Arizona and spending time with the family. And I know everybody will be looking forward to you coming back next year and doing those Spanish broadcasts. Should be a lot of fun.
I know. It should be a lot of fun. Thanks for having me. Hey, man, I love doing this. I love talking baseball. So we need to get our Cardinal team better so we can beat the Cubs, first of all, in the division and the Brewers. And then we need to get them better to make a run in the playoffs. That's what I want.
Well, you better be careful, because if you're not doing Spanish broadcasts, I know a lot of fans want to bring you back as assistant hitting coach. So you better be careful what you wish for, my friend. You may be a bigger part of the solution than you think. Sound good?
We'll see what happened there. They're letting people go, so
yep.
We'll see what happens.
All right, my friend. Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Monday as we kind of get past all this kind of stuff, get past the hurt of the season and what we need to do. Talk a little bit about some of these changes, maybe eyeball a few things. We'll kind of see how these playoffs start out, and we'll hit a little bit more of that next week. Sound good, my man?
You got it, buddy. You got it.
All right, that is the great Benji Molina on the M4byYachty.com hotline. We want to thank Yachty and his M4 brand for all their continued support. Cannot do the show without our friend and yours, Benji Molina. He provides such great insight, such great ability to break things down. He's been there. He's been in the trenches. Some of the things that we see on TV, things aren't always as they seem. It's always nice to get a real perspective from a former guy that's, number one, honest, open, and really enjoys sharing with great fans. So we do appreciate Benji and his contributions to our show. Again, it was the best day of our lives when Benji said he was ready to join the show full time. So we appreciate him so much and everything he's done for all of us here at Two Birds on a Bat. And on that note, we want to remind you to check us out on twobirdsonabat.com. It's our website. It's where you can subscribe to the show. You can also listen to the show there. Check us out on Twitter. We are at Birds on a Bat Show. Find us on Facebook by simply typing in Two Birds on a Bat. You can see us now on Instagram, Two Birds on a Bat Show. Our ask of you is to follow us on these social media accounts. Join in on our conversations. Share our show when you see us post the actual episode. Help us reach all the great Cardinal fans out there. Again, couldn't do the show, and our continued growth is all a big product of being part of that RallySquirrel.com network. Nate McHenry does such a great job over at RallySquirrel.com. Make sure you check them out. Happy to be affiliated with them as well. Again, RallySquirrel.com, the webpage. Become a member of the Rally Squirrel Club for less than the price of a cup of coffee. You'll be eligible for all that great content and the wonderful prizes provided by our friends at Fan Cave Sports. Don't forget the Cardinal Freak on Facebook and, of course, our friend and yours, Chris Lawless with Cardinals Nation and Cardinals 24/7. For LineupMedia.fm, this is Two Birds on a Bat. Well, I guess we won't see you on the field. We'll see you in the living room watching playoff baseball again this year. We'd love to hear your points and your comments about GM work, so send them to us. We're happy to take a look at what you think, and you never know, you might change some of our minds over here. For Steve-O, for Benji, I'm Jimbo. We will see you guys next week.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.